Our first case is Willis Electric v. Everstar,
2021-1870. Mr. Ahrens. Good morning. May it please the court, counsel. My name is Patrick Ahrens, and I represent Willis Electric. Willis Electric was the first company ever to conceive of a decorative light string using internally reinforced wire. Yet the board found every claim obvious based on three errors that I'd like to address today. The first error is an incorrect claim construction of light string, an unsupported argument that a person skilled in the art would have been motivated to combine old references to make the wire more durable, and the disregard of real-world evidence that shows the non-obviousness of these claimed inventions. I'd like to address these three errors with the panel, and I'd like to reserve 3 minutes for rebuttal.
Counsel, could I stop you there for a minute? I don't see the time here. Okay, we moved it up there. Thank you. Please proceed.
Thank you, Your Honor. Let me start with the first claim construction error. Claims 1 through 6, and this claim construction error affects claims 1 through 6 or the board's decision of it. It's about the construction of light string. Now, the board's construction of light string was a collection of electric lamps connected by wires in a flexible configuration. And what it left out and the error in it is that it was Willis's proposal that it is intended to be hung on, draped on, or wrapped around or about an object to provide a decorative effect.
Yes, but doesn't the specification show that the invention includes being in the tree as well as on the tree?
Not so, Your Honor, in terms of the light string. Now, what the specification does show is, I think you're referring to figures 22A through D. And 22A through D shows various embodiments for how the light string is configured to be electrically connected, which is one element of Claim 1 for sure. But those various embodiments really just focus on the configured to be electrically connected to. So you could have a traditional plug-in socket in 22A. You could have a wire-to-wire connector set outside of the trunk in 22B. 22D is very similar to 22A in another sort of connection. What 22C addresses, and that's what Everstar raised on appeal, it's not something they raised at the board. This is not something that the board relied on to come to its construction. But 22C shows that a wire, that the light string could have a wired connection in the trunk of the tree to a power wire. But that does not inform the proper construction.
It shows part of the wire being inside the tree, at least, right?
Yes, part of the wire, part of the light stream is inside the base of the tree. That would be correct, Your Honor. But that is how the light string is configured to an electrical source, and it is still error to define and construe light string to be so broad that the entire light string could be inside a branch or inside the tree, like in Harris. In fact, when you look at the specification excerpts, it consistently and repeatedly shows a light string is on or applied to a tree or object. Clearly, that's what's being shown in figures 19 and 20. In column 13, it discusses a light string being flexibly distributed about a structure. Column 17, the light strings applied to a tree. Column 17, again, talks about it being external to the tree. And I think the main error from the board was a recognition that there was nothing in the specification that prohibited the light string from being inside the tree. And, of course, that's the same error the board made and that this court reversed on in Inree Smith. Inree Smith was a dispute over the term, an undefined term, body, in an oil and gas drilling tool. And what's notable about In re Smith is that was the BRI applied, whereas here the Phillips standard applies, so we're not as broad as In re Smith. Yet this court still found an error, because like here, the specification repeatedly and consistently refers to, in that case, the body as a separate component.
Prior cases, the different specifications shed little light, no pun intended, on specific cases like this, which depend on what's in the particular patent.
Yes, Your Honor, and we would submit in the excerpts that we've identified that the light string is consistently and repeatedly about or on external to a tree. And I think what the core dispute is the light string sort of at least in part, if not in full, external to the tree, or can it be inside the tree like it is in Harris? And for the reasons that the board described, none of the specification excerpts that the board relied on show that the light string is internal to the tree.
Well, you admit that part of it can be inside the tree. How much can be inside the tree?
Well, I would concede, Your Honor, that the electrical connection could be inside the part where the wire is electrically connected to a power source could be inside a tree. But the specification, at every point where it is showing and describing the lighted portion of the tree, it's about being external to the tree.
So your theory is that some part of the wiring has to be outside the tree?
We would submit that, Your Honor. That would be the proper construction, that some portion of the light string would have to be external to the tree. And that is the consistent and repeated disclosures of the specification. It's also
is that a construction that you urged on the board?
Your Honor, I'm sorry, I didn't.
Is that a construction that you urged on the board, that some part of it has to be outside the tree?
Well, I believe it is consistent with our proposal. We didn't use the word in part. We did explain that it had to be external, wrapped around the branches. And what I think the proposal was trying to convey, which is what I'm trying to argue here, which is that there's a fundamental difference between a wire that is inside a branch or inside a tree and one that is intended to be wrapped around or draped or applied to the external part of the tree, especially in the context of this invention, and I'll move on shortly to the motivation combined, where the alleged motivation combined is to make it more durable. And obviously there's going to be a fundamentally different kind of context for that if it's external to the tree or inside and protected by the branches. I would also submit...
So did you say... You're arguing that part of the wiring can be inside the tree?
What I would concede, Your Honor, is that in Figure 22C, it does show that there could be an electrical connection at the end of the wire that could be connected to a power wire inside the tree.
So then it becomes a case of how much is permissible and how much is not.
Well, we would submit there's no disclosure in the specification for anything but the end point, the electrical configuration, to be internal to the tree. And so when you're talking about the light string in earnest in terms of the branches or the tree, it should be applied externally, applied to the branches or the decorative object.
Your argument seems to me to be, when you're talking about wrapped, somewhat like a net, I'm not saying a net, but you just simply, you know, wrap it around the tree. What about where the wires are wrapped around the branches and the trunk, and the only thing you can really see are the lamps?
Well, that situation would still be external to the tree. It would still be wrapped around or strung on the exterior portion of the tree. And in fact, that's one of the goals of the invention, is to reduce the bulkiness and make it more attractive, to reduce to be able to have sort of an improved wire that would be less visible, but it would still be outside of the tree. And it's a fundamental difference from the Harris reference from almost 100 years ago. I would also submit that the construction that we're offering is very consistent with what the board construed a light string to mean in a related patent, the 186 patent, that is incorporated by reference. in which case, the board found a very similar reference, the Smith reference, meaning similar to Harris, not to teach a light string because they construed a light string to mean a string of lights that can be positioned over a plurality of branches, which, of course, is consistent with our dispute here.
Different specification.
Well, the 186 patent is incorporated by reference in the 588 patent.
But there is specification in the Smith patent.
That,
different specification in this other patent that they construed.
Well, the Smith patent does have a different specification. Yeah. However, the disclosure, when you compare the figures, they're almost identical in terms of a wire being internal to the branches. And I would submit, with a proper construction of light string, as we've argued, that the board's finding that Harris, implied suggestion that Harris would not be limited to the circuitry of the tree, would not be supported by substantial evidence. Everstar offered no expert testimony on that, no evidence at all, and the disclosure of Harris does make clear that the circuits or circuits constitute the integral part of the tree construction. I will move on to the second error at this point, and that has to do with the board's decision on finding a motivation to combine Harris and Lin with Fuji or Wang. And of course, Everstar bore the burden throughout this proceeding to prove with detail, with particularity, its obviousness combinations and specifically why a person skilled in the art would combine these references. And the problem with Everstar's argument and the board's decision, it is a solution in search of a problem. What the petition sets forth is that alleges a person skilled in the art would try to find a more durable wire, combining Harris with Fuji to make it more durable. It identified a similar problem, perceived problem of insufficient strength. But the problem with this is it just lacks an evidentiary basis. They're conclusory statements, conclusory allegations. Because on the record below, Everstar took the position, and the board seemed to accept, that there's no disclosure of what the wire is in Harris or Lin. And more durable is a relative concept. So without knowing whether the wire was insufficiently strong, or if it was sufficiently strong, there would be no reason to make it more durable. And for that reason, it can't be a predictable solution to combine known elements, again, if a wire was already sufficiently strong.
Isn't increased durability and strength generally a good thing? Do you need a specific... To make a distinction between retaining strength and durability versus increasing it, is that real?
It is. It's real and it's critical. And in fact, if you look at Fuji, which is one of the central references relied on, it does not teach increasing durability or increasing strength. At Appendix 1330, column 1, lines 41 through 47, it discusses specifically an invention to provide a wire conductor for a harness whose breaking force is equivalent to that of a conventional harness wire. And the reason for that, Your Honor, is, as set forth in the 588 patent, is this is a multi-dimensional, complex set of considerations to offer an improved wire. If you are going to increase durability, you're going to risk increasing its cost. You're going to risk making it bulkier. You're going to risk making it unsightly.
Well, those are considerations to be considered in making something, but in determining when you're considering non-obviousness to get a patent on a non-obvious invention.
Well,
doesn't seem very powerful. You want to save the rest of your time?
Yes, Your Honor.
If I
could just respond briefly, it was Everstar's burden in its petition to set forth its motivation to combine. It's the one that chose a more durable wire, and it's conclusory and unsupported. And I'll reserve the rest of my time.
We'll give you 2 minutes for rebuttal.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Mr. Babcock.
Thank you. Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the court. My name is Brent Babcock. I'm with Loeb & Loeb. I represent the appellee Everstar. We were the petitioner at the PTAB on the IPR. I think the first thing is to make sure that we're not conflating the claim construction issue of light string with on a tree. It seems like there was a lot of discussion about on a tree as part of the claim construction of light string, and that's not what happened. There was one issue for claim construction, that was, what is light string? The board defined what a light string is. A light string is a noun. The board defined what the light string is. The board said it's a collection of electric lamps connected by wires in a flexible configuration. A pretty reasonable construction based upon the specification of the 588 patent. The parties agree that that's it, that's the construction, except Willis says, oh, we need to add an intended use to the construction of light string. So to the construction of now, we need to say, in addition, what does it do? And Willis said, oh, we need to add that it is intended to be hung on, draped on, or wrapped around, and, or about an object to provide a decorative effect. Well, that's not what a light string is. That's what it does, intended use. Board correctly, as a matter of law, that's a de novo issue for you, for the court. Court correctly said we're not going to add an intended use for a couple of reasons. First of all, that language doesn't come from the specification of the 588 patent. It came from extrinsic evidence from experts. So it's not even in the patent. Second of all, the preamble, and I think we should look, we're going to look at the, if we can, claim one. I mean, we always love the claims. Claim one is page 111 of the appendix, it's at the back of the blue brief. But the preamble already provides an intended use. It says a light string, and then it says, for use, what? On an artificial lighted tree, having an electrical power source. So by adding the proposed construction of to be wrapped around an object, and then, but is it for an object or is it for use on a tree? They're not even consistent. So the board correctly said,
is the preamble limiting here?
Well, Your Honor, the parties have agreed to that.
Agreed that it's limiting.
They did.
Even though all that follows seems to be self-sufficient, structurally.
I'm not going to take a different position than what was argued to the board, Your Honor. Okay. Both parties acknowledged in the trial proceeding at the PTAB that it was limiting. So I'm not going to advocate a different position here. So on the de novo issue, the only de novo issue for the panel here, for the court here, is light string construed correctly? I think the answer is yes, it was correct de novo. So now we get to substantial evidence questions. On a tree, which is one, and increased durability. So it's interesting that, and this panel and the court understands how often we get hung up on little English prepositions, on, in, about, around, and this issue of on a tree was two sentences in Willis's briefs below, and now it's become like the major argument on appeal. The board addressed it, but only as cursorily as Willis did, which is said, yeah, Harris shows on a tree. Let me show you why. There's a lot of discussion about the light string. We have to first define what is the light string, and the claim one tells us what the light string is. It has several components. It's not just the wire between the bulbs. That's part of it. But the claim says a light string comprising, what does it include? Lamp assemblies, a first power wire, a second power wire, a plurality of reinforced light connecting wires, and those are the wires between the bulbs. And then you also have the plug, and that's in the specification, and you have the sockets. Claim 5 talks about the sockets. So when you say a light string on a tree, you have to first understand what is the light string, and it's multiple components. And that's set forth in the claim, set forth in the specification. It's multiple components. Now, the other thing to look at is, well, how does the specification show a light string on a tree? What embodiments are showing that? Well, Claim 1 says that the light string has a, that the tree has a power source. The preamble says electric lighted tree having a power source. A first power wire wherein the source of the light, says wherein, it says, to the electrical power source, the electrical power source of the lighted artificial tree. Second power wire. And at the end of the limitation, electrical power source of the tree. Okay, so if you spin through the figures and you say, well, which of these figures show a tree with a power source? And there's really only one. It's figure 20. And there you have a tree with a light string, and it has a plug coming out of the base. And if we look at figure 20, right here, we're talking about this one because there's the tree, and then out of the base is the little power cord. I got some nice annotations in our briefs to try to illustrate that. 19 is arguably just the string kind of hanging out. So we focus on 20. That's what the board looked at, figure 20. And then you got some further embodiments or further in details in figure 21 and then 22B, C, D. We focused on 22C because there are two parts of the light string that are internal. They're called the power wires. The claim calls them the first power wire and the second power wire. Judge Dyke referenced those, saying, aren't those inside the tree? Yes, that's part of the light string based on the claim definition, and it's inside the tree.
Okay, so what you're saying is that the light string has these multiple components, that the specification shows that some of the part of the light string can be inside the tree.
Exactly.
And that with Harris, it is also true that part of the light string is outside the trunk of the tree on the branches and part of it's inside.
You're exactly right, Your Honor. And we tried to, on page 50 of our red brief, we have a table where we try to summarize this. And we have, okay, here's the components of the light string. We got the bulbs, the sockets, the power wires, the power plug, interconnecting wires, and the star on Harris. And then we show which parts in Harris are internal, which are external, which parts of the 580 patent are internal and external. And it's not identical, but it's pretty similar, and there's parts on both that are inside and parts that are outside.
How about motivation to combine?
Okay.
And strengthening versus maintaining strength?
So that is the third issue that I want to address, and that is there was one key reason to combine, increased durability. That's the reason that the board relied upon primarily. It instituted on that issue. The board said that adding the polymer fibers to an electrical wire would increase its durability because polymer fibers are more durable than metal strands. So this issue was clearly raised in the petition. The board adopted it in the decision on institution, the DI. Parties argued it. This isn't a situation where it was ignored. Both parties presented evidence for and against durability from their experts during the patent owner response, the expert declarations, the reply brief, expert declarations, the surreply. So there was a lot of evidence going back and forth on this issue. Our brief kind of goes through kind of all of the times where the parties were arguing about increased durability, and there was certainly not agreement on that issue. But that's the test isn't here. Here what Willis has been asking you to do in their briefs is to say, reweigh the evidence, that we think the board got it wrong, that the evidence actually favored no increased durability reason to combine. But as we know, on this issue, it's a substantial evidence test. The board weighed the arguments, it weighed the evidence, it considered the expert testimony, it weighed the credibility of the witnesses, and it said, we think, on balance, the evidence here, because we put both on the scale, and we think on balance, the evidence favors the petitioner's argument that increased durability is a sufficient reason to combine under 103. So I went through Willis's brief, and again, it's really re-arguing the merits of the case and explaining why they think that the panel got it wrong, that the panel below got it wrong. And that's not the correct approach to this court. The correct approach is, was there substantial evidence? Now, it's not a scintilla, But was there enough evidence to support the trial court's, or in this case, the board's decision? And here, yes, there was. And we kind of do a litany of, we have quotes from all the experts, our experts, explaining, and it's not a complicated issue, right? I mean, you know, polymers are pretty flexible, and they're more flexible and more durable than wires. You bend, you bend, you bend, you bend, you're going to break a metal wire, you're not going to break a polyester strand. And so it's not a complicated technical issue. The experts talked about it. The board agreed with our expert and said, on balance, weighing the evidence, we find that the evidence favors the petitioner. And it's a preponderance. Our burden, only a preponderance standard, they found it did. So there's not, this isn't a situation where the board said, we're going to discount all of one party's evidence and only weigh the other. There's plenty of discussion in the decision from the record of evidence on both sides. And that's what the board is supposed to do. It's supposed to put the totality of the evidence on the scales and balance it. So in this situation, this is a very simple affirmance on our view, because it's a substantial evidence question. And substantial evidence supports the board's determination. And it's not up to this panel to say, well, let me reread the record and reevaluate the witness's testimony.
Well, there is a claim construction issue.
And so the only issue there, Your Honor, was light string. So with regards to de novo, you can de novo if this court believes that light string has to include another intended use, as a matter of law, this court is authorized to, of course, change the claim construction. But our view, and I think the reasonable point view here, is that from a pure legal sense, and from looking at the specification and what the proffer was from Willis to add an intended use into light string, conflicting with the intended use of the preamble itself, not a compelling argument by any means. Thank you, Your Honors.
Anything further?
Nothing further. Thank you for your time.
We'll see you in a little while. Mr. Ahrens, 2 minutes for rebuttal.
Thank you, Your Honor. Again, this is a solution in search of a problem. And while this court does not reweigh the evidence, it is always on Everstar's burden to come forward with particularized evidence of a motivation to combine. And here, the patent sets forth that there existed sufficiently strong wires in this industry. The UL standards, with Everstar embraced in its position and specifically said instructed and would teach known options about how to meet durability requirements. There was no problem here that was going to force skilled artisans to try to seek to combine references. And again, the record is silent. Absence of evidence as to Harris and Lynn as to what those wires taught or disclosed. And without knowing that those wires, or having any reason to believe that those wires would not be durable enough, there'd be no reason to make them more durable. And also, as we identified, and as Everstar's experts conceded at times, there are concerns in terms of what skilled artisans would look to. There are drawbacks to increasing durability in terms of if you're going to make it bigger, if you're going to increase the cost. That sure, you can make a wire more durable, but that's not making it a better wire. That's not making it improved. And specifically, Everstar even conceded in its reply at the board level that cost was paramount, and that adding a polymer strand was going to add cost. And so with that, we would submit that the board's decision fails for substantial evidence, and we'd ask for a reversal. Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you both. The case is submitted. Thank you.